Once again, we have a religious group, and there's some irony, I believe, to this specific group being in the spotlight again for an illness in America, and specifically New York. It's like we're in Groundhog Day, but this time a huge body of people are standing up. Take a look at this.
Well, growing fallout this morning to Governor Cuomo's plan to reimpose lockdown restrictions in hot zones across New York City. The Cluster Action Initiative applies to most of Brooklyn and parts of Queens. Now, in those red zones, mass gatherings will be prohibited. Schools and non-essential businesses will close. Dining will be limited to takeout only, and capacity at houses of worship drops to 25%.
If you look at those clusters and you look at those zip codes, you will see there's an overlap with large Orthodox Jewish communities, and that is a fact. So I will be directly meeting with them.
Just a few hours ago, the streets were packed with people. I want to show you, they started a fire in the middle of the street here. You can see some of the burned out remnants of that fire in the middle of the street. Protesters taking to the streets here in Borough Park. You see in the video where the cardboard boxes are set on fire. The scene around 1:30 this morning with a large crowd lighting that fire right here at 46th and 13th Avenue. They are angered over the order signed by the governor and enforced by Mayor Bill de Blasio, by the Sheriff's Department, as well as the NYPD to shut down schools. It completely limits houses of worship to 10 people in areas here. And much of this neighborhood in Borough Park is subject to those measures. They are some of the most restrictive measures anywhere in the state, and they would run for about 2 weeks until the infection rate drops down. At one point, the situation got so tense that two deputy sheriffs were chased away. Leaders here say their voices are not being heard.
Mr. Cuomo and Mr. de Blasio think we're nobodies. We are not nobodies. Are we nobodies?
No!
Well, obviously, this is a response to Governor Cuomo listing red zones on the map of New York. Cuomo orders shutdowns in New York City's COVID-19 hotspots. And this was a tweet he put out today. We established clear limits for areas where we see high positivity. The Cluster Action Initiative. Locations will be categorized either red, orange, or yellow based on proximity to the cluster. The severity of the problem will determine the response. And once again, we have not seen these discussions about Black Lives Matter protests or gatherings in grocery stores or any of those things, but the attack is upon places of worship and really, I think, being felt by one specific group. And so I want to say I'm honored right now to be joined by Rabbi Yitzhak David Smith, who finds himself in the middle of this controversy. So my understanding is you were there, Rabbi, at this protest. What was the protest really about?
So first of all, just to clarify, and thanks so much for showing that, I wasn't at that protest. I was at dancing on another neighborhood, which went on. I'd like to tell about that. We sent in some videos to show you about that.
Okay.
The protest actually was about burning masks. A lot of it was burning masks and people recognizing that a new religion has taken over. That's the religion of public health. The religion of public health is superseding in the Jewish community. It's superseding the Torah. In the United States, the religion of public health is superseding the Constitution of the United States of America. And under the public health religion, all measures are justified to force compliance because it's for everyone's benefit. And this is something that we've seen in past history in Germany, in the 1930s, a movement of public health that sought to impose upon the people public health, starting with sterilizing people that were not fit for replicating, reproducing, then euthanizing the people that were not healthy, sending around questionnaires, who's healthy, who's not, and then euthanizing them, and then ultimately spreading the expanding the definition of lives unworthy of life, which was the German terminology, expanding that to include the Jews, and then intending to expand it after the Jews to everyone else. The Poles were next on the list by the Germans. Millions died under the Nazis, and more were intended. Goebbels, may his name be erased, said that after they finish with the Jews, they will eliminate and kill all the Poles, then the Ukrainians, and so forth. So this is how public health works. It uses the fear that people have to force them into compliance. It manipulates the terminology that people are familiar with to say this is the highest form of Judaism, to abandon Judaism and then just follow the public health directives. And this is what the Jewish people are waking up to now. They're seeing that this is happening in real time. They are being misled. They are being manipulated. The current Jewish organizations are all basically complying, urging compliance, and they are helping the governors actually implement these things. The governors are using the Jewish leadership and the Jewish rabbis through the influence of doctors who are public health doctors. They're using the rabbis to be the influence method into the Jewish community to bring compliance. And the Jews are saying, the rabbis are saying, we're the force multipliers. They're saying this to the governors. So this is really, really what people are waking up to, and they're not willing to take it anymore.
You know, you're making comparisons that a lot of people, and I've gotten myself in trouble. I don't know if you're aware, but over a year ago, I was at a speech and I said, how are you going to know whether people are vaccinated? Or how are you going to know whether they're infected or not in this case? You're going to need some sort of symbol. I held up a yellow star saying, we've done this before in this world. And I pinned that to my chest and said, and I want to be clear, I wasn't saying that the vaccine issue or these health issues are like Nazi Germany. I was saying I stand with the people that are being oppressed, that have been oppressed before. At that point, they were being kept from celebrating Passover because of the measles outbreak. But you are now making these comparisons. You are certainly, I think, in more of a position to do so, given your background. But here's what I find really, really troubling about all this. This is the second time within 1 year, really, that, you know, the ultra-Orthodox community is finding their services being shut down, their people being labeled as dirty or dangerous or whatever language they're using, which really does smack of historical references to one of the most atrocious atrocities, of course, the Holocaust that ever happened. But isn't it alarming? I mean, it's beyond irony that within 1 year, two completely different viruses. We're talking about the measles virus back in Rockland County in Brooklyn, New York, that came out, and the people that didn't want to vaccinate against it, all of a sudden you found these towns and areas being locked down, establishments where you cannot get together and practice your religion. Within the same year, a totally and completely different virus is now the reason we're shutting down the temples and the ability for you to gather and you know, practice your religion. What has happened? We have lived on this planet for a very, very long time, and there has never been any virus that kept the Jewish people from meeting and gathering, or Christians, or Muslims, or whoever we're talking about. And within 1 year, the same leaders in the same area have used two totally different viruses, ironically, to say that the Jewish people are putting us all at risk. Do you see to me, that's terrifying.
It's both terrifying and it's not ironic, because it's absolutely that in the previous measles situation, that was the opportunity for the public health doctors, those that take their instructions and their training from places like the Centers for Disease Control and the World Health Organization and other foundations and so forth that are funding all this public health research. That was the opportunity to really get into the heads of the rabbis, tell the rabbis they don't know enough to make this decision themselves. They really need to, A, follow whatever the Centers for Disease Control says. And number two is that they now need to use public health directives to now turn against Jews that are independent thinkers. So what happened was that the people were thrown out of the schools for not vaccinating. People were thrown out of the synagogues for not vaccinating. This goes against all principles of Torah. But the rabbis who justified it will actually bring all kinds of quotes from Torah sources to try to justify it and claim that they're actually, by instituting public health as a higher authority, they're following the very highest principles of Judaism. But it's not true. That's not what Torah is about. Torah is about individual health. Each person has to realize health comes from God, has to seek out advice from people who also recognize that, have to seek out help from people who are actually interested in helping people heal, have to seek out individual medical guidance from a person who is an expert in the condition, and an expert in the patient. It's a doctor can only, under Torah, a healing professional can only give advice to an individual person. You cannot, in Torah, make decrees on everybody. That is, there's no place in that. That's why public health is a separate religion that comes from the cult of scarcity, which is fighting against the God of abundance. And what happened in the measles epidemic, this mentality took over, and now it's being used. You see, well, they closed the measles, so now they should close now. They told them there's going to be not enough ventilators, close all the synagogues. But that's number one. But the other key thing to recognize over here is that, you know, there's a lot of emphasis, and the anti-Semitism is definitely a trigger concept. But we have to realize that all Americans are the target here. The reason the Jews are the target, first target in Germany, the first target in Russia, under the communists, under the Nazis, is because the Jewish people carry the spark of the living spirit of God Almighty. That's the Torah. And we are bear witness to God's existence in the world. And for 5,781 years, we've been carrying the tradition of this to all of humanity. That's what's inspired the Constitution of the United States of America. This country exists because people were inspired by the ideals in the Torah. So the first people that must be targeted in any type of clampdown is the Jewish people, because they're the ones that once they're silenced, then the rest of humanity just is silenced, follows along. And I want to give you an example. And I believe that's what happened in Germany. The Jews were targeted first because they are the light unto the nations. If they were successful and they eliminated many Jews, even the non-religious Jews, by the way, always have the opportunity of awakening the fact that they're light unto the nations and throwing off the cult of scarcity. What happened in March was that the governors did not have to order the synagogues closed. Governor Murphy in New Jersey said in a press conference that he never had to close any synagogues because the rabbis did it for him. So, but if you watch carefully, what happened in March, first they came to the rabbis and said, close the synagogues, close the yeshivas, which a lot of rabbis unfortunately did. Some were courageous and did not. Those ones never got in trouble. The only people who get in trouble are the people who comply, but or try to, you know, work the system. But if you don't comply, we'll get to that in a second, then there's no issues. But here's what happened. After Governor Murphy got all the synagogues and the yeshivas to close, only then did he put out an executive order closing all everyone else. So because you have to get Jewish compliance first. We are the ones that carry, we have a direct relationship, which all humanity is meant to have. And our job is to bring that light into the nations.
Well, let me just because, you know, we speak to all around the world and all religions. I recognize that you see that as your place in Judaism. I would say that Christians see that they carry a light too, and all the other religions that are out there. But let's specifically, and I honor the fact that that's where you're coming from and you see that as the goal of your people, and that's wonderful. What I want to ask you, though, is now that it's happened twice in 1 year, there was serious division in the ultra-Orthodox community back in the measles outbreak. What was that? Was that last year? I'm losing track of time in Rockland County, all that. There was division. You were fighting each other. Now that it's happening a second time, and you said the first time the rabbis went along with it, now it appears that there are more rabbis that may be saying, wait, hold on a second. What is really happening here? Do you feel like this is galvanizing the people? Is there a growth that is taking a place in the ultra-Orthodox community to say maybe this really isn't about public health and it's about something else?
Well, it's definitely galvanizing the population. It's I went to an event. I was at this dancing event on the streets of Crown Heights in Brooklyn, which I'd like to hopefully share the videos because it was really inspiring to see. And people were coming up to me and saying, you know, they'd seen my videos, they'd seen my talks and so forth. And they were like, you know, Rabbi Smith, this movement is much greater than any of us understand. And we have to understand that the key here is our job is, our responsibility is to alert the rest of humanity, to alert the blacks, to alert the Spanish, the Native Americans, the white Americans. Everyone has to realize that they are the target. Right now, the Jews are in the spotlight, but don't think that this is just merely an anti-Semitic thing that's either is going to affect the Jews. If the Jews give in, then the rest of the zip codes will expand to everyone else. This is a planning an 18-month lockdown of the country, a new normal that everyone's going to be required to comply. There's going to be forcible quarantines. They're already looking at Ocean County, New Jersey, which is a big Jewish neighborhood in Lakewood, New Jersey. They're looking for quarantine locations. They are the government, the public health department. This is a massive revolution that's taking place, and we need to recognize that the movement is not just about the Jews. When I speak to the black people, I speak to white people all across all backgrounds. We need to realize we're all, not only we're all on the same page, we're all the same target. And
I agree.
Unfortunately, people wait till they hear something anti-Semitic to wake up to the reality that we're in a move for totalitarian control over the entire world population.
Well, it reminds me of that famous poem, and I can only paraphrase it, but essentially when they came for the Jews, I didn't say anything because I wasn't Jewish. When they came for the Poles, I didn't say anything because I wasn't Polish, ending, and when they came for me, there was no one left to protect me. Clearly, we find ourselves in that moment, and you are on the front lines representing what happens when we lose freedom of religion, when we lose the right to assemble, when we lose the right to free speech. This does not look like the United States of America in New York, and I'm glad you are standing up. Rabbi Yitzhak David Smith, thank you for your time, and we'll check in with you again. I'd like to see how this all develops in your community as time goes on. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
If you like that clip, then be sure to check out our live broadcast of The High Wire every Thursday morning at 11 a.m. Pacific time. You can watch it on Facebook, iTunes, and Twitter. We'll see you there.